Welcome to History Class After Hours. I'm Joseph Barra, and joining me is Brian.
Hello.
Brian's going to tell a story today.
Yes, I'm going to tell a story.
About birds. Birds!
That we didn't even plan that. We just said that in sync.
Yes, wow. we're just so in tune after 3 years of this.
So, would you declare war on your national bird, the bald eagle? Would you ever do that?
Not personally. Yeah. I'm sure some people have.
Probably. Well, they did. In 1932, Australia declared the Great Emu War, which consisted of two phases where Australians tried to defend their crops from the vicious and tyrannical emus. Maybe it might be one of the strangest wars ever fought, and the emus shouldn't be underestimated because, spoiler alert, they won.
Huh.
Yeah. So, on November 2nd, 1932, Australia declared war on the emu population. Now, you might be thinking, what's an emu? Basically, it's basically an ostrich. They have the second, they're the second tallest bird, and they're the second fastest bird on land speed. So, yeah. In regards to Australian law, the emu is not only a national bird, but was also a protected species until 1922. However, as their numbers grew, the emu turned into a pest. It gained pest status, I guess. During this period, Australia was part of the global recession of the 1920s. The 1929 market crash affected way more than the U.S. because, you know, if the U.S. goes down, then a lot of other people are going down.
Yeah, we tend to do that.
Yeah.
Great Depression, 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Western Australia faced difficulties as the wheat and wool prices plummeted as a result of the Great Depression. During this point, Australia relied heavily on its exports, but since there was, you know, a Great Depression, not many countries were willing to trade. To further accentuate the economic troubles, Australia had recently tied their currency to the British gold standard, which, as luck would have it, had just been heavily inflated because of the economic downturn. So in 1929 to 1930, Australian wheat and wool prices had halved, which I guess that happens. I don't know.
My understanding currently, wool is basically worthless.
Yeah.
When I went to Ireland a couple of years ago, they said that a lot of the sheep farmers literally just like burn the wool because it costs them more to deliver it to market than they would actually get from the wool.
Man.
No one wears wool anymore.
I guess.
Don't blame them. It's itchy and it's hot.
Yeah.
So, and it smells bad.
Yeah. I don't like wool. Wool is, I don't like it. The farmers in Western Australia were mostly returning soldiers from World War I. Soldiers who fought in World War I were given land to farm. On top of the Great Depression, Western Australia was also facing a drought that caused most of the farmers to move into the cities to find work because of the terrible conditions. So emus migrate, in case you didn't know. I didn't know that. They migrate to Western Australia once every year.
And assuming they're not flying.
No, they're not flying. They're flightless. They probably ran there.
It's like a smaller ostrich, correct?
Yes. It's basically a small ostrich.
All right.
Yeah. This time they came back with 20,000 of them. That's not good, for the farmers. They were ready to breed and became very aggressive and territorial. Furthermore, the mothers required much more food, increasing the damage to the crops. So basically, the emus were just eating all their crops. Upon returning to their breeding grounds, the emus ravaged the farms of the veterans, and as they came in large numbers and the farmers' wooden fences did little to stop the strong, massive birds. This loss of crops further crippled the economy and the livelihoods of returning veterans. So, therefore, George Pierce, the Minister of Defense, to deal with the growing savage populations of the tyrannical emus, he decided to use machine guns and basically just declared war on the emu population. This starts phase one. The minister thought that shooting videos and of them killing emus with machine guns would somehow be good PR for the struggling country. So he assigned Major G.P.W. Meredith and two machine gunners to be filmed. So they would take care of the vermin birds. However, George Pierce added certain constraints, like the farmers had to provide food, housing, and pay for the ammunition. So basically, remove the pests, give us a ton of money and supplies.
Okay.
Yep.
That works.
The first attack was scheduled November 1st, but it was delayed by heavy rain. This may seem insignificant, but it foreshadows the humiliations of the Australian army in the future. The Australian soldiers used Lewis guns, a light machine gun, in order to take care of the birds, but they were just way too fast for them.
Wait, the birds were too fast for
the
machine
guns?
Yes, the
birds were too fast.
Aren't these guys veterans coming back from
World War
I? World War I?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the veterans are farming.
Oh.
I don't know if the people actually on the machine guns are veterans.
You would think with a machine gun, you'd still be able to hit a big bird.
Well, another thing about them, they can take multiple hits. They have like a huge hide or something, but they can take like multiple bullets and still run.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe they should make those in the tanks.
Maybe. Emu pelt tanks or tanks. I don't know.
They should have trained them for military service.
They might have, honestly.
Really?
given this war, I wouldn't be surprised. The first battle, the attack on Campion, occurred when the Major and his troops arrived there on November 2nd, 1932, and encountered a flock of about 50 emus. They began firing on them from a distance, but only managed to kill a handful of them. As I said earlier, they could take multiple bullets, and they quickly ran away at the start of the shooting. 2 days later, on November 4th, the Major and his gunners came up on a group of about 1,000 emus at a dam. The Battle of the Dam, very creatively named, resulted in a victory for the emus after only a few seconds. The machine guns jammed and allowed almost all of them to flee. So far, emus have 2, Australians have 0.
That was an issue with the Lewis gun.
They kept jamming?
They always jammed. It was a weird design where I had a circular cartridge that was on top of the gun, and dirt would get in the chamber all day.
Why would you have the cartridge on top?
If you look at weaponry from World War I, there's a lot of stuff that don't make sense.
All right. In a desperate attempt to catch up with the emus, the general and his men tried attaching a Lewis gun to a truck. This proved extremely ineffective, because the guns were already inaccurate, and putting them on a moving vehicle, it's pretty much impossible to aim. The plan finally came to a stop when an emu's head got lodged in the steering wheel of the truck. It doesn't say how it happened, but...
What?
Yeah, I don't know how it happened, but...
The guy was just...
Maybe an emu, like, tried
attacked
to jump
him?
In the truck.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
That's odd. Because they got kind of small heads.
Yeah. There's, I mean, you could, like, fit a small head in the steering wheel, probably.
Based off the picture I'm looking at, they have very tiny heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Major Meredith found that while they could kill the birds from a distance, being close up was most effective, as the birds had farther to run to get out of range of the machine guns. Who would have thought? Wow. Great revelation, Major Meredith. Using this close-up strategy, he and his men camped around water sources and waited for birds to arrive. Unfortunately, the birds showed up in very small numbers, but they did get at least 200 confirmed kills this way. Unfortunately, because of the toughness of the birds and the high-speed machine guns, they used over 2,500 rounds of ammunition to do it. Side note, a single round for a Lewis machine gun would cost around $1.25 in today's money. So,
jeez.
Yeah. That's a lot of wasted money to
kill. Yes, to kill some 200 birds. Yes.
The Australian Parliament was very displeased with the failure of Major Meredith and his gunners, and so they recalled the troops and put an end to the operation after just 1 week. Additionally, the media was calling out the government for this failure of a military campaign against unarmed, flightless birds. On the contrary, some of the media took the Major's side by portraying the emus as a crafty, cunning army with keen eyesight who would not be easily defeated. Those darn emus, man, they're too powerful, honestly. Meredith claimed that the reason for his failures are because the emus were simply too fast, too strong, and he even compared the durability of an emu to a tank. So there you go, of making tanks out of emus.
Yeah, the emus, that would have been helpful during World War II because probably. The Australians are known for creating the worst tank in the history of warfare.
It was that bad.
It was called the Bob Simple tank. It was made out of corrugated sheet metal.
That's
and
not good.
It was super slow. It would tip over easily. And the engineering of it, you couldn't fire any of the guns without hitting the tank.
Wait, so if you shot, it would like the bullet would hit the tank?
Yes.
How does that even happen?
Because it was a horrible Bob Semple tank. That's what it was. Awesome. I mean, it's a thing.
It's that bad.
It's
like the huge artillery shell. Oh my gosh.
It's literally made out of corrugated metal, which I could throw a rock through. So maybe the emus would have been a better.
Yeah. If you're at home, go look it up. Because I'm just now seeing a picture of it.
It's something.
That looks so bad.
Yes. That's what they designed to defeat the Japanese army. I think emus would have worked better.
Yeah, probably. So Meredith stated, quote, "If we had a military division with the bullet-carrying capacity of these birds, it would face any army in the world. They could face machine guns with the invulnerability of tanks. Unfortunately for the farmers, the emus were still a growing problem. Out of the 20,000 emus that migrated to Western Australia to breed, only a few hundred were killed in Major Meredith's campaign, which brings us to phase two. To show the damage on these farms, Major Meredith stated that the farms in the region were only outputting a third of what they used to. Clearly, the emu population still needed to be controlled. So just 5 days later, on November 12, 1932, Major Meredith launched phase two of his campaign. On the first day, they only killed about 20 emus because of the brilliant emu strategists had learned the effective range of the machine guns and just stayed beyond it.
Some smart birds.
Yeah, they're getting pretty smart. Fortunately for Meredith and, quote, his merry men, as the media took to calling him, the regional drought forced the emus to congregate around water sources. So once again, the Major camped around water sources and this time reportedly killed about 100 emus per week. The second phase continued for a little under a month until December 10th. Overall, the Australian military killed around 1,000 emus, but unfortunately, for the veteran farmers, the measly 5% of the emu population being gone didn't do much in the way of solving the crisis. In fact, some journalists took the side of saying that the military operation may have caused even more damage than intended, because the fleeing emus trampled over more crops in their desperate attempt to escape. One newspaper went as far as to state that the emus trampled 100 crops for every one crop they consumed.
I could see that.
Probably.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Clearly, the intended PR for the Australian government ended up to be far more negative than positive. Instead of showing the people that the government would take an active role in protecting their property, this campaign showed that the government was too incompetent to deal with a handful of birds. Yet again, Meredith defended his position against the press. He stated that they killed 986 emus, which conveniently was a tenth of the amount of the rounds that they had used during the operation. So, 10 rounds for every emu.
That's not good marksmanship.
Nope. Yeah, they definitely need to work on their aim. Meredith stated that a kill for every 10 rounds of ammunition was, quote, an extraordinarily high percentage. I don't know if that's true for emus, but I don't think that's true in, like, conventional warfare.
It's actually worse.
Worse?
Yeah.
Like, it's worse than it should be?
I think 3%.
3%.
Of rounds actually hit their target.
Oh, so, I mean, that is pretty good, then.
But you're also shooting at a big bird.
Yeah.
Who's not really...
Who's
not really attacking you.
Yeah. Their defenses, the
condition,
they're flightless.
Yes, the conditions are far different than you being shot at. Yes.
Though not confirmed kills, it is estimated that around 2,500 emus were injured. The farmers found that rifles were far more effective. To incentivize the killing of emus, the government introduced a bounty system on the emus in 1934. The former soldiers defended their own farms and over the course of 15 years killed 285,000 birds. Unsurprisingly, at a rate of around 1,500 emus a month, this new strategy killed around 500 more birds a month than the entire military operation did within the span of less than a month. The last line of defense, and the most effective, was the use of a new, better fencing. That's right. After declaring war against birds, spending thousands of dollars, and humiliating themselves, the best solution to the emu crisis were new metal fences.
Makes sense.
It's not unreasonable to say that the Australians lost the emu war. While many emus were killed, they remained a pest until the development of better farming technologies. The war additionally hurt Australia's reputation, drawing criticism from as far away as Britain. However, it's important to know that the Australian military should not be denied by on a failed campaign, even if it's against birds. They fought in World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and currently has one of the most powerful navies in the world. To this day, emus remain in the region of Perth and prosper despite the attempts to suppress their population. Additionally, the emu is the national bird of Australia, even after it had war waged against it. In 2021, a film called The Great Emu War was planned to premiere as an action comedy. However, it wasn't released. Overall, it was a great PR disaster for the Australian government and would probably make an interesting story, which is why we're telling it now.
John Cleese wrote it.
John Cleese?
Wrote the Great Emu War movie.
Wait, what else did he write again?
He's Monty Python. He's one of the big Monty Python guys.
Oh, all right.
It's supposed to be released. It was scheduled to be released in 2022, but now it's scheduled to begin production this year.
Ah.
So they're still making it.
I really hope they do make it.
That'd be good. John Cleese is a funny guy. This kind of reminds me of, did you know that the state of California actually declared war on squirrels and lost?
I didn't know that.
Same type of thing was going on. So it was during World War I, and they were claiming that squirrels were destroying agricultural production that could be used to send overseas. So rather than hire the army to kill the squirrels, they hire school kids.
Oh.
And they'd go to elementary schools, and the kid that killed the most squirrels got like $800 today's money. And then there was a second place and third place runner up.
Dang.
And they had like propaganda posters all over the place, like saying like death to the squirrel. Millions in food must be saved. They lost though.
They never taught me that when I lived there.
They lost. That's because they lost. I don't want to bring up that they got beat by a bunch of squirrels.
It's also about that one time the Chinese government declared war on swallows.
Oh, they lose that too?
Yeah, and it resulted in a huge famine of like, so a lot of people ended up dying in that one.
Can't declare war on nature. Nature fights back.
Nature wins.
So, moral of the story, don't declare war on rodents and birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burns will definitely get you.
They literally called squirrels the little ally of the Kaiser. Yes, the Germans planted them.
Germans planted squirrels? I can believe that.
Why hesitate? We can get them. How? Poison them, gas them, drown them, shoot them, trap them, submarine them. Just kill the squirrels. That is literally a poster.
Oh my gosh.
The squirrel does not recognize daylight savings. He uses it all to eat our food. Man, someone definitely did not like squirrels in California. But anyway, there you go. The Great Emu War.
Yep.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to History Class After Hours, the show where we talk about the things your history teachers didn't have time to teach you. If you wanted to stay updated on upcoming events for the History Club, please visit www.starsmillhistoryc.wixsite.com/2020. If you liked this episode, please share it with your friends and subscribe to our channel on iTunes Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. Be on the lookout for new episodes, and we'll be posting every week. Until next time, stay curious.